Blog Talk Radio.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues.
Good morning and welcome to the A New Day Show. I am so excited that you have taken the time to join us this morning and you are up for a treat today. We have two very special guests this morning. Our first guest is Dr. Miles Monroe, who is the founder of Bahama Faith Ministry, and he is also a global trainer in leadership. So you are up for an awesome treat this morning. So just sit back with your pen and paper and just take in everything that Dr. Miles have to teach you this morning. And our second guest at 10:30 will be Mr. Dwayne Owens out of Texas. Good morning, Dr. Miles, and how are you today?
Good morning, Daphne. Doing excellent here from the Bahamas. The weather is beautiful.
I'm telling you, I could do with some of the warm weather this morning. I'm going to do my best to carry on. I know your bio has been up on the blog for a couple of weeks, and I know people had ample time in which to read that. So we are not really going to spend time this morning go through that because you are no stranger to the world. I mean, I am surprised when I come across someone who said they don't really know who Dr. Miles Monroe is. So I am out to make sure everybody know who you are when they hear your name, if there are still anybody who does not know. This morning, Dr. Miles will be speaking on two topics. One will be overcoming crisis, and the other, the principle and power of change. And I know with the experiences that we are going through throughout the world, these two topics are so timely. And I want to thank you again, Dr. Miles, for taking your time. We know you could be doing a lot more things, but you have decided to bless us this morning, and I greatly appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure to serve your listeners, and we hope that we can help as many as we can today.
Yes, yes, Dr. Miles, thank you, because you have been such a role model for me. I remember the first time I met you at the Fraser.net conference and sat and talked with you, and my life has never been the same since then, and I just want to thank you for the impact that you have made in so many people's lives. You're going to say something?
I was saying thank you very much.
Okay. I want to start off to ask you, how would you define crisis? Because I know for each of us, we have a different definition of crisis.
I think that's a very important question, because whatever you call a thing, that is what it is to you. And so if you call something a crisis, then that controls your response to it. But in the traditional context, a crisis is defined as an event or situation that affects you or your environment over which you have no control, and perhaps you didn't cause it. And that is what's happening right now in the world. We are all experiencing what they call a global crisis, which is an event globally that's affecting all of us, and we didn't cause it, we can't control it, and we can't stop it. So we are always having to deal with situations like that. But, you know, a crisis can be an economic one, or maybe the death of a child is a crisis.
Yes.
The death of a spouse is a crisis. Losing a job is a crisis. These are things we can't control. However, we are always in control of our own thoughts, and therefore mm-hmm. we can control our perspectives of these things and even the definitions of them. And I think
right.
Mm-hmm. Because crisis is a word that we created, which actually could be an opportunity for us to grow and to progress.
Because I understand clearly what you're saying, Dr. Miles, because the situation is going to come. It's like the word mistake. I tell people, if you dissect that word mistake and look for the lessons learned from it, you are going to benefit from it instead of seeing it as a worthless cause. If you can look in that situation, what lesson did it teach me from that mistake? It's going to be worthwhile.
Yeah, well, I think if you notice right now, the most active people in the world right now are the Chinese and the
mm-hmm.
Japanese. The Asians are moving around during what they call a crisis, and they are investing everywhere. And that's
mm-hmm.
because in their language, there's no word for crisis. If you study the Japanese or Chinese language, the word for crisis that we call a crisis is their word opportunity.
Opportunity.
Yeah, so whenever we say we have a crisis, the Asian says they have an opportunity. And that is why their response is different. And they see every problem, therefore, as an opportunity for business. And I think this is perspective that we need to go into the world with. My favorite book in the world is the Bible. And when
mm-hmm.
I study the Bible, I notice that every page is a documented crisis and how people overcame them. So history
mm-hmm.
is really a recording of how humans overcome crisis. Crisis is a normal part of life, but we shouldn't call them crisis. We should call them opportunities for creativity and growth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what
mm-hmm.
a crisis should
mm-hmm.
be in everyone's life.
Mm-hmm. It's like now, you know, I was talking with a colleague of mine the other day around the topic of recession. And I said to her, girl, I said, now it's time for us to dig deep down and really harness all the creativity that we have so that we can come out on the other side with a testimony like nobody has ever heard before. I said, this is the time for us entrepreneurs to shine. I said, forget about recession. Let us tap into those skills that we have never touched yet. And this is similar to what you're saying about crisis. It's an opportunity because it is indeed an opportunity.
Well, there are two results of crisis. One is insecurity. And the other one is change. And both of these concepts are very necessary for progress and development.
Mm-hmm.
We don't act until we feel insecure. And insecurity, basically, when life upsets your traditions,
mm-hmm.
and therefore you have to create some new ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's happening right now globally. All the systems that we depended on, all the traditional institutions are falling apart. That's a wonderful
mm-hmm.
thing because it means now we got to create some new institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
And then change is the most positive benefit of crisis. First of all, not all change is improvement, but you cannot
mm-hmm.
improve without change.
Right.
And there is improvement unless you change. And there's one thing I've tried to tell people this last few months as I travel, is that nothing is as permanent as change. Change is constant. Everything changes. Change
mm-hmm.
is inevitable. Change is the principle of life. It's a part of the creation. And nothing
mm-hmm.
is as natural as change. And, you know, if we don't embrace change, we won't live on this planet. And crisis is a result of change, and change is a result of crisis. So really, the greatest result of crisis is change, and mastering the changes of crisis determines your ability to manage your life. And so this is the greatest period right now for us to prove our maturity and to also prove our ingenuity and our creativity. There are going to be more people coming out of this crisis who are multimillionaires than those that went in.
Amen for that.
Because crisis will always produce new thinkers, more creativity. And nothing is permanent on earth except God and his promises.
Right.
And God promises us change. There's a statement made by the richest man that ever lived, Solomon, in his book Ecclesiastes. He said, to everything there is a season. And I think that's important, because what he's saying is that everything will change. That includes the economy. That includes your job. That includes your physical body. That includes your marriage. It includes your children. So if you understand that everything has a season, then seasons guarantee change. Seasons give hope, though, because they also mean that whatever you are experiencing cannot remain. It will change. And so if you are broke right now, that's only a season. You will be wealthy again.
Right.
And if you have a lot of money now, it's important to plan it properly, because that won't last. So nothing remains the same. And seasons are always moving. And what I like about seasons, you know, we live in the Bahamas here. And, you know, we have, of course, the Caribbean. You got Jamaica and Trinidad and Tobago and Guyana and so forth. And we live in what they call the hurricane season belt.
Yes.
When hurricanes come, we don't panic, because the world calls that a crisis. For us, it's just a natural season. And so we build our houses to handle the crisis. We prepare ourselves for the hurricane, so we're not afraid of it. And that's what we need to do with life. If we build our lives prepared for crisis, when the crisis comes, we are not frightened or anxious. And so seasons give the incentive for us to plan and for the future. You know, we build our houses based on what they call hurricane code here in the Caribbean. And what that means is we know that hurricanes are a crisis. We study them. We know that they can be up to 200 miles per hour wind gust. And so we build our homes and our infrastructure to handle that. That's what life is about. Life is about not trying to stop a hurricane. It's preparing yourself for that. You should never respond permanently to a temporary problem. This crisis will pass. And I want to say to all of your listeners, don't panic. Start planning. And plan your way out of this situation. If you lost your job, start your own business. You know, if your business collapsed, then plan another one. In other words, this will pass. So please be like we are in the Caribbean. When the hurricane comes, we know that the hurricane is always moving. As long as we don't move, it will eventually pass. This crisis in the world today is moving. If we tie ourselves down with our creativity, our ingenuity, our industry, and, of course, our faith in God, when this passes, you and I will still be standing.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much for those words, Dr. Miles, because I'm sure there are so many of the listeners this morning who really needed to hear this reassurance, because there are really some turbulent times going on, and people need to be reassured to know that at the end of the tunnel there is some light. But the light that you're going to be seeing is totally dependent on you and the investment that you make in yourself. All right, I want to just remind the listeners that they can call in with their questions. The number to call is 646-915-8166. If you have a question for Dr. Miles, you can call that number. Dr. Miles, what is the principle of change?
Well, the principle of change is that, as I said earlier, everything changes. And nothing remains the same. And I think that principle is very important to understand, because you and I we become disappointed in life because we expect things to remain the same. So our expectation is our problem. It's not change that's the problem. We expect things to be permanent. And I think the statement made by King Solomon is so important. He said, to everything there's a season. So don't expect anything to remain the same. And if you live that way, then when it changes, it doesn't surprise you. And so disappointment is a product of expectation, and change is guaranteed. So if you expect change, change can never destroy you. And I believe this global crisis today is affecting people different ways. For example, there are people listening today who may have had a job for 15 years. The problem they had was that they believed their job is going to be forever. If they had remembered the advice that Solomon gave, everything is for a season, then they would not put all their eggs in one basket. You know, maybe you had a job for 20 years. Maybe you're the CEO. Maybe you own a company, whatever, and you expect that to remain forever. I mean, look at these massive companies today that are collapsing. I'm sure that we would have thought they would have lasted forever. But
yes, yes.
Solomon says, to everything there's a season. So don't trust anything except God, because the only
thing
that doesn't change is God.
That's right.
It's not.
You know, on Sunday, that was what Pastor said at the end of church. He said, don't you, at the end of service, don't you ever give up on God during this time, because he'll never give up on you. So that's what we need to remember. what are some of the benefits of crisis?
Oh, my goodness. Crisis is a wonderful thing if you understand why crisis comes and what it can do. You know, one of the important things to remember is that humans don't advance until they are under pressure. All great inventions were a result of crisis in history. You know, when I think of President Kennedy, when he was the President of the United States, there was a crisis that emerged where Russia was about to go to the moon or go in space. And that crisis created a demand of the president upon the American scientists to find a way to beat the Russians to the moon. He had no way of figuring out how to do that. But that crisis forced the scientists to develop the kind of technology that created the space program. That crisis also developed computers, which was a spinoff from the space program. And today, you know, we see going to the space as something very easy. But during that time, the crisis created that program. And so, you know, it's very important to understand that humans don't advance until they're under pressure. And this is why I believe God allows crisis to allow us to move forward. You cannot progress if you remain where you are. So it's important, if you don't move intentionally, life will create environments and situations to make you move. A crisis, to me, is God's signal that it's time to move on to something greater. And so that's one of the great benefits of crisis. The other benefit of crisis is that crisis expands your thinking. You will never think beyond what you know unless you have to. And so crisis forces you to think beyond your present conditions or your present knowledge, because your present knowledge is not working anymore. For example, if all the economic institutions are falling apart right now, then President Barack Obama has to come up with new ideas that they never thought of before. And this is why one of the greatest benefits of crisis is it destroys your experience to create new ones. And crisis is the cradle of creativity. Crisis and pressure are the incubators of innovation. And we only become innovative when we have to. And so we need to remember that crisis is not a negative. It is life saying it's time to change. And I believe that this is why God allows crisis. You know, I think about the hurricanes here in the Bahamas and in the Caribbean sometimes. They are the greatest blessings to our country, because when a crisis of a hurricane comes to the Bahamas, it takes away all the pollution in the air. it carries it away, and the air becomes renewed. But when a crisis comes into your life, it comes to remove old, you know, stale thinking, you know, old habits. It shakes up everything. Secondly, when a hurricane hits the Bahamas, it breaks down all the rotten trees that used to look good, but they were rotten on the inside. The hurricane removes them. Crisis comes to take away everything in your life that is rotting, to purify you. It comes to clean out the thing you become stagnant with. And then thirdly, when a hurricane comes and it moves through, it brings new, fresh regrowth. In other words, new trees begin to emerge. When a crisis comes into your life, one of the benefits is it brings new ideas, new opportunities, new relationships, and it begins to develop a new approach to life. So crisis is a wonderful way to advance. And I want to say to everyone listening, don't curse the crisis. Use it for your progress. Hello? 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 Hi, Gerald. Yes. Hello? Hi, Gerald. Yeah, I was talking to the on the radio station. When you call in, they cut off.
Hello, Dr. Mal. Hello.
Dr. Monroe,
hello,
yes?
Hello, Dr. Mal. Yeah, I'm
yes.
Sorry about that. We had some technical difficulties. I apologize. My question was, you have written a best-selling book on the topic of purpose. What prompted you to write your book, How to Get Rich on Purpose?
Well, I myself, like 6 billion other people on Earth today, were trying to find a reason for my living on Earth. And all of us
yes.
are struggling with that question. And so that book is a result of my journey, and I when I discovered the very principle of purpose and how it works, and I discovered my own purpose in life, I had to document that experience and to help other people find their purpose. So my motivation for writing the book was because I had the same challenge as everybody else. I wanted to know, why did God put me here? What was my reason for being on Earth? What was I born to do? And these are questions
mm-hmm.
everyone are struggling with. But that book is to help people discover the answers to those questions, because I did. And I've been living a very fulfilled life, a purpose-filled life, for the last 35 years of my life. It's been wonderful. And I hope that everyone
right.
in the world would discover their purpose, because without purpose, life has no meaning.
Yes, yes. You have a new book coming out sometime next year on the topic of crisis. You want to mention something about that?
Matter of fact, it's coming out next month. So it's right. It's right on time for the situation people are going through. The book is called Overcoming Crisis, and the book is addressing the very items that we begin to talk about today. It begins to talk about the fact that crisis is a normal part of cyclic in life. It's a cycle, and the fact that, you know, we need to learn how to use the crisis for our benefit. Crisis is not too strong a word for what is happening today. We are walking through a worldwide crisis right now. But the book is to help people look at crisis in a positive way and then to become proactive. Don't let crisis destroy you, but use it as a constructive experience to build your life to a better place. So the book is about the 10 specific responses to crisis that you should have to make you a success in life. And it's an exciting book. I'm excited about it. It's published by Destiny Image. It should be in all the stores next month. And they expect this to be a very good best-selling book, so I'm excited about that. I worked on it for about 5 months, and it's finished, and it's going to be in the stores next month.
Would you please come back when the book is out to talk about it on the show?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, one of the things I'd like to talk about when we come back in the future is the difference between your job and your work. People are afraid of losing their jobs right now, but I think we need to stop confusing our jobs with our work. Our jobs are what people pay us to do. Your work is what you were born to do. And
I think we have a caller. Let me see if the caller have a question. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning, Dynamic Daphne. This is Paul Lawrence Fan. How are you today?
Oh, good morning, Paul. How are you?
Doing wonderful, and I do have a question for Dr. Monroe.
Sure, good morning,
yes,
Paul.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yes, first of all, I'd like to say I did meet you at the first annual Power Networking Conference with George Frazier. And you talked about purpose, and I'm telling you, it was one of the most powerful talks I think I've ever heard. And so my question to you is, for the people who are out here and they are experiencing problems, losing their jobs, they're losing their homes, and they're looking for the government to rescue them, could you please provide them with some insight that people should really look at rescuing themselves, help themselves through the spirit?
I appreciate that question, and that is what the new book is on. The new book is addressing the fact that no one should control your destiny, including the place you work. Again, you know, crises are the greatest opportunities for creativity, innovation, and personal development. So I'd like to encourage people to remember that they should never again confuse their job with their work. Your job is what they pay you to do. That's your skills. But your work is what you were born to do. That's your gift. And no one can take your gift from you. So now is the time, if you lost your job, to focus on your gift. What is my gift? And then begin to think about unique, creative ways to put your gift into engagement. Create your own opportunities. I was speaking to a lady who came into my office recently, and she said she lost her job. And I said, well, so why are you depressed? She says, well, I don't have any income. I got to take care of my kids. I got to pay my bills. I said, well, do you think you lost your job or you lost your ability to think? She looked at me, and she said, what do you mean? I said, well, no one took away your brain. They took away your job. Why don't you think? She said, what do you mean? I said, look, you don't have a crisis of joblessness. You have a crisis of creativity.
Yeah.
I asked her a question. I said, do you have an oven in your house? She said, yes. How many times do you use that oven? She said, once a week, every Sunday I use my oven. I said, so you bought an oven, and 6 days out of the week the oven is dormant, dead inventory. She said, I guess so. I said, do you have a car? She said, yes, I got a car. I got to pay a car note. I said, okay, do you have some flour and some sugar in your house? She said, yes. I said, you don't have a lack of a job. You got a lack of creativity. I said, why don't you
right.
engage your oven right now, go home and bake some cookies, and begin to distribute them to friends and make them available to people to buy. She said, I never thought of that. I said, that's the problem. You don't have a joblessness. You have a creativity crisis. I said, look, go ahead and bake cookies. Give the first set away free to friends and family and folks, you know, who you know, and then tell them they can purchase these cookies. Do you know that in the 3 months later, this lady is distributing over 50 dozen cookies a week?
That is
she is
incredible.
Bringing
wow.
in over $5,000 now. She has cookies in stores. She had to actually expand her kitchen. She had to buy two extra ovens. And now she got people who want to invest in her cookie business. Her problem was not having a job.
No.
Her problem was not having creative thinking.
Yeah.
This is why many times God would actually take away your job because you're sitting on a gold mine that's trapped and buried under that job. So this is no time to panic. It's time to be creative. Your job should never become your life. Your work should be your life, and your work is your gift. Her gift was the fact that she could bake quality cookies. She didn't know she had that gift, and it took losing the job to create a business. Now her income is almost five times what she was making in 1 month. She's
awesome.
Making that now, and she paid off her car in 4 months, she says.
Oh,
and
that's the Lord.
All of her kids went into private school now. This woman is a creative genius. But all of that was buried under a job. So I encourage people listening today, listen, you were never created to be employed. You were created to be deployed.
Deployed.
Deploy
Thank
yourself.
You.
And
Thank you,
if
Dr.
you deploy
Monroe.
Yourself, you'll never have to worry about being unemployed.
All right. Dr. Monroe, that was absolutely fantastic. Thank you very much for answering that question and inspiring all the people who are listening here today. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you,
okay,
Paul.
Okay. We'll do, Daphne.
We
Thank
have
you.
One more call, and I think we are over the time. We have one more call. Caller, good morning. You're on the air. Hello, good morning. Caller, you're on the air. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Okay, we missed that. Okay, Dr. Miles?
Yes.
I just want to thank you for blessing us with your time this morning. And now it's 27 minutes over the time. So you've gone 3 minutes over the time. If you would please do your closing remarks, and I will be in touch with you for you to come back to talk about the new book and how to talk about the difference between your job and your, forgot what you said already.
And your work.
Your job and your work. Your job and your work.
Yes. Well, let me just say this in closing. Robert Sheed said something that's very important. He said, most of life's battles are fought inside ourselves, and our greatest periods of growth usually come during crisis. I believe that the secret to thriving at this time is effective management. I encourage you to manage your time, manage your relationships, manage your resources through the crisis, and when the hurricane passes, you'll still be standing. I got confidence that the God who began, he will finish it. God bless you all.
Thank you so much, Dr. Miles, and we'll be hearing you back real soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. God bless you all.
Thank you. Good morning, Duane. Is this Duane?
Yes, it is. How are you, Ms. Daphne, Queen of the Empowered Soul?
Oh, I'm telling you, I'm having the flu this morning, and my technology is acting up, but we're going to bless it in the name of Jesus this morning.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now you don't have you don't have that swine flu, do you?
I don't know what I have because you know I'm not somebody to be staying home.
That's
and
right.
I was home Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday. I didn't even go out to my mailbox. That's how bad I was feeling. He sent me some healing energies.
Yeah, I might have to fly out to Connecticut and lay hands on you.
I'm telling you.
Well, you sound better than when I spoke with you a couple of days ago.
Yes, I am feeling much better. I'm not having as much pain as I had this morning, as I had the past 2 days. So I could step comfortably in the bathtub and all of that. So I'm feeling much, 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 much better.
Great.
Well,
great.
Thank you, my brother, for blessing my listeners this morning.
Well, you're absolutely welcome. It's a pleasure to be here, and I just want to thank you for the invitation to come and share some empowering information with your listeners.
Yes. Duane, I want you to start off by telling the listeners a bit about your journey, because I know you're going to be talking about purpose this morning, and you have a new book. But you didn't start where you are now.
Absolutely.
I want you to give the listeners some insight on who Duane Owens is and where he started.
Well, thank you very much, Daphne. You know, whenever I'm introduced to do speaking engagements, one of the things that the introducer will do is give the speaker all of these accolades about the accomplishments and successes that I've achieved in life. And so once I'm introduced and I come up on that stage and I'm having a big round of applause, I realize that at that point, all they know about me is my successes. And the first thing I do is I humble myself in front of the audience, and I let them know right away, you know something, my life was not always this way. There was a journey that I had to go through. There were some obstacles and some pitfalls that I went through, and I try to be as transparent as possible. One of the things that I really let people know is that, you know, I went through a 15-year drug addiction before I began to realize that there was a purpose or a calling in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I was raised a military brat. My father was in the Air Force, and we literally grew up living in a different state every 3 years and overseas. And that was just the way of life for me. I thought, you know, to grow up in one place all your life was pretty odd and abnormal because I was just so used to so much travel. Periodically, we would go to church, but I really never received anything. I was the kid that that youth pastors didn't want around. I was always skipping and running out of sessions that we would have at the church, and basically fell in love with sports, played basketball through high school, and that really became my passion. And one of my dreams when I was a youngster was to play professional basketball one day. But I realized when I stepped on a college campus and started playing basketball with some of the team players there that I just didn't have the skills. I was just not born with the skills to be one of the top 1% of athletes to play in the National Basketball Association. And at that particular time, at the age of 17, I saw that dream destroyed. And I didn't have a plan B for what I wanted to do with my life. I couldn't even appreciate the fact that I had a fortunate opportunity to be going to college when there was a lot of other people deserving but weren't able to go because of finances. And it was around that time, Daphne, that I started to indulge in drinking and started indulging in doing drugs. I was just looking for acceptance, so you got to realize it was my first time away from home. I'm at a college campus, and everyone on a college campus is there for the same goal, that's to achieve a higher education. But I saw that even though all these people were here on this beautiful campus striving for a better life, there was still this social bug of chemical dependency that people were involved in. So I thought at that time, well, this must be okay. If they're doing it, I can do it. Well, the reason I was thinking like that, because I just didn't know who I was, Daphne. I had no identity and didn't know that I have a calling or purpose in life. So what started out as casual recreational usage just blew out to a full-blown 15-year addiction. And it got to the point, you know, I started – when I was a teenager, the last time I used drugs was about 12 years ago. I was about 35 years old. And it was around that time that I felt that my life had to be more than what I was going through up until the age of 35. And it was around that time that I started looking for some type of meaning in my life. I started to listen to powerful speakers like Zig Ziglar, Les Brown, Napoleon, Vincent Peale, and I just heard information that I had never heard before. And it just gave me a whole new lease on life. It shifted my paradigm. And at that point, I knew that I just knew deep down inside that my life meant more. And so it was around that time that I started searching for purpose, reading books, watching programs, doing whatever I could to find out. But I got to tell you the truth. It wasn't until I met my beautiful wife, Dolores. Let me say this. Let me say this is the pivotal point right here. When I was listening to these speakers, the one thing that they told me that all successful people, truly successful people that have their success with a peace of mind had, is they had spirituality in their life. That was the one thing that I did not have. And so it was around that time that I opened myself up to spirituality. And it was around that time that I met my wife. It was just perfect timing. It was God's timing. And I was sharing with her, you know, I was asking her questions about God and purpose and all of that stuff. And basically she just took me to a church out here in Dallas called Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. It's pastored by the incredible Dr. Tony Evans. And when I went and sat in on one of his sermons, when I walked out of there, Daphne, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that there was a God. Because prior to that, I did not believe there was a God. I knew there was a God. And I was so hungry for hearing more about God and how it related to my purpose. I was going every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Sunday, every Wednesday. I was on fire. And it was around that time that my beautiful wife said, well, you know, Duane, I know that you're enjoying these messages, but, you know, you really got to accept Jesus in your heart. And it was around that time, Daphne, that you know, I tried to quit drugs on my own for 15 years. And so on my way to work one morning, I just said, well, Jesus, I really don't know you, but I'm going to accept you as my Lord and my Savior. And there was no fireworks going off. There were no bells and whistles, no altar call. It was just a little private decision I made on my way to work one day that changed my entire life. Never went back to the drugs again. Went on to live my dreams of becoming a professional speaker, trainer, author. Life is just magnificent. I know without a shadow of a doubt I have a calling. I'm fulfilling that call. My call is to also empower other people to recognize that they have a call and to pursue that call also. You know, even though we're in an economic recession right now, you know something, Daphne? I refuse to participate in that. You know what?
That's the same thing Dr. Miles was just saying. I don't know if you were on and heard him.
No, I didn't
about
hear
the woman who in his office. I was saying, Dr. Miles, he was mentioning about a woman who had lost her job and came into his office, and he talked her through a process, and now she's delivering 50 dozen cookies a week.
Wow.
Baking from her kitchen stove, and then she had to go out and get 3 more stoves. Because he asked her, you lost your job, they didn't take away your thinking, you know? So it's amazing.
It is absolutely amazing. One of the things that I do, Daphne, is I do a lot of presentations for workforces, and I've dealt with thousands upon thousands of people over the last 3 years who have experienced layoff, downsizing, and we're talking about people between the ages of 30 to 50. And they're at a point right now where they don't know where to turn. They've been in an industry for about 20 years or so, and they realize now at the age of 40 or so that they really don't want to go back to that industry, but where do they go from here? And basically, this is basically how it goes. You know, we graduate out of high school as a teenager. We either go to college, we get a job, go to the military, and we stay in those particular industries for several years. After some time, we get a management position. We get raises. You know, we go to seminars to learn more about the industry. We stay in that industry for so long because it's what we know. It's where we've developed our skills. And after some point, you've been in this industry for so long, you get to the point where you say to yourself, is this all that this industry has to offer? You know, deep down inside,
yes.
you want to do something else, but you just don't know what the something else is. So you stay in that particular industry until one day you're called into the office and you're told, we're downsizing, we're letting people go, so we're having to let you go. And for the first time at the age of 38, 40 or so, they're faced with the dilemma of where do I go now that I'm not employed? I don't want to go back to that industry. I really never had a lot of joy in it, but it's what I know. But where do I go from here? So that's the big question that a lot of people that are unemployed are dealing with right now. But I tell you what, life gives us what is called wake-up calls. Life will give you an opportunity to get on life with your purpose, with your calling. And that's where a lot of these people are. So now they're at a place right now where they have to discover where truly their talents, their gifts, their passions lie, and hone that energy to use it in a career field that they were born to belong into.
You know, a lot of people, they are so scared. And the fear is what is preventing them from really stepping into what their true calling and purpose is. You know, quite often, Duane, I have the conversation quite regular with people, and they say, but, you know, how do you manage to be self-employed? When you're self-employed, you don't have any benefits and you don't have any of that. And I said, if you're going to keep looking on those things, then it's going to prevent you from operating in your true calling and your true purpose in life. And this is the time when what is going on now is kind of stirring the waters around us so we can know what we need to step out and do. Because so long as we can think, we can become creative in which to create things. There are so many things that we can create that will benefit other people. Duane, I want to thank you for sharing your story, because I know there is someone out there who needed to hear your story this morning.
Absolutely.
Too often, people hear people on the radio, they see them on TV, and they think, oh, they have had it made. And some people tend to tell them the beginning of their story and the end, and they have never heard the middle of their story. And I appreciate you giving them the total picture of your journey this morning, because when they listen to you, they are going to know that you have paid the price, you have paved the way, and you are not just speaking to them based on what you have been taught of at school or what you have read out of somebody's book and from somebody's experience. You have walked the walk, and now you are willing to share with them so that they can craft their own story. So I thank you very much for that.
Well, you're absolutely welcome. You know, I believe...
Go ahead.
I believe we operate out of one or two paradigms. Either we operate out of a paradigm of faith or a paradigm of fear. Now, there's nothing, you know, even when you're operating in faith, there still is a little element of fear. I knew once I turned my life around, I found out that I had a talent in speaking. I just knew that that had to be part of my calling, but at that particular time, I had never given a speech before. I had never spoken publicly. But since I knew that that was one of the things that I really want to pursue, inspired by people like Zig Ziglar, Les Brown, and some of the others, I joined Toastmasters International just to learn how to enhance my speaking ability and skills. I did that for several years, Daphne, and so I learned how to hone the skills of speaking, but now is to the point, how do I take what I've learned and translate that into a speaking business? Now, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that that's where my calling was, to be in that particular industry. But at the time, I was working a full-time job as a counselor with Job Corps. And I started this speaking thing on the side. But what happened was, while I was doing the speaking on the side, there were a bunch of opportunities within Job Corps that became open, that paid more, that had more power to the position. But you know something? I've never took those positions because I knew if I took that position, it would destroy this little baby career that I was starting to work on. And people couldn't understand it. They were saying, Dwayne, why didn't you take this job? You're qualified for it. It's more money. It's more benefits, blah, blah, blah. But I knew that this was what I was supposed to do. So I did that for about 7 years. And it was to the point now where this little part-time business was beginning to earn me more in just a few hours of training than a whole week of working at Job Corps. And it was at that particular time, Daphne, that I had to take a leap of faith and step out and do what I felt my God-given calling was. Now, let me tell you one other thing. When I first started into the speaking business, it wasn't like initially I had a bunch of speaking engagements set up. And when I turned in my two-week notice, during that second week, I started getting a bunch of calls from people that were canceling the speaking engagements. Now, it's too late for me to retract the two-week notice, and so I had to rely on faith and say, God, I know you're the one who gave me the permission to do this. And so I stepped out there. And I struggled, and we got behind in bills. I got to the point where I was getting ready to file for bankruptcy. I mean, I just wasn't getting any calls. And then after about 3 months or 4 months, I finally got one call. Wow. I got a speaking engagement. Next week, I get another call. And then I get another call and another call and another and another and another and another, and the business just started exploding. But you know what? I had to go through that trial of fire. I had to know that this is what I was willing to go through, if this is what I really wanted to do. And so that's part of an entrepreneurial spirit. It's part of your calling. You don't have the satisfaction of getting a paycheck every 2 weeks, but the checks that I get now are much larger than what I was getting those 2 weeks. But the thing is, I'm doing what I absolutely love to do, and I know it's a call. I don't feel it's work necessarily. I don't feel like it's a job. It's what I was born to do, and I do it. And the financial rewards are just a product of what I do. So what I really encourage people to do, especially if you're someone out there right now who has just recently been laid off, this is not the time to get down on yourself. It's not a time to have a pity party. I believe that everything that happens in life happens for a reason. I've spoken to countless people who have been unemployed, are now employed doing things that they love to do, and will always tell me, you know something, Dwayne, if I didn't go through that period of unemployment, I wouldn't be where I am today. So that's what I say, don't participate.
That's right.
Yeah, don't participate.
You know what, Dwayne? A lot of people, especially if they're in jobs for quite a number of years, the comfort of where they are, they don't want to get the waters ruffled there. They don't want to move, and they get so comfortable there. And you know, I listened to you talk about your story and when all those speaking engagements cancel. And you know what came in my mind, Dwayne?
What's that?
Is how God tests us sometimes and see whether or not we are for real.
Exactly.
Because if you did not really continue and steadfastly say, yes, this is my calling, I want to follow through. If you had thrown the towel, you would not be where you are today.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Sometimes God said, well, let me see if he's for real. And before he blesses us totally,
the lesson to be learned is that when you're going through a crisis situation, see, purpose is a spiritual thing. It's a divine thing. It's beautiful. It's a journey that is anointed by God. So you have to put all of your faith and all of your trust in him to help you. So when I initially went through these crisis situations, where I was in a position where I didn't know how we were going to eat or how we were going to pay bills. And it wasn't just me going through it, Daphne. My wife is going through this with me also. She's relying on me as the head of the household to know that I'm making the right decision, not within my own power, but through the power that I have from knowing that this is my God-given purpose. So when we're going through those trials, when we're going through those fires where we barely have enough money to put gas in the tank, where we can't eat out or have fun and all our other friends are out there doing other things, I have to know that ultimately my protection, my source is from God and God alone. It's not from me, and so I have to trust him going through those particular periods. Now, before I embrace God in my life, what you have to know is whenever I went through a crisis situation before that, I was seeking to fill that void through drug addiction. You know, that type of pressure is something I just couldn't stand up under. So, you know, when we all go, this is the truth. Whenever we're going through a crisis situation, we are always going to try to fill that void one way or the other. A lot of people fill it through drinking, through drugging, through going out and having sex, through excessive spending or whatnot. I mean, you find a way to deal with the stress, which in
That's
a lot
right.
of times is unhealthy. But see, for me, whenever I'm going through, well, I don't stress out anymore. I just don't stress anymore. I just say, look here, God, I'm walking where I want you, where you want me to walk, and it's up to you. I want to see how you're going to bring me out of this particular situation.
Exactly,
because
we know that we are not in control.
That's
what people understand. I want to piggyback way in the beginning when you mentioned about the time that you accepted Christ in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I want to piggyback on that because a lot of people, when you mention to them about accepting Christ, they think you have to do this big, you know, this big to do. And you can do it wherever you are. You could be sitting on your toilet. You
Absolutely.
Could be in your shower
right.
where you are. You don't have to make any special preparation. Because his arms are always outstretched outward. He is willing to accept you
mm-hmm.
the way you are and where you are. So I don't know why I needed to go back there this morning, but the Spirit told me I had to. So somebody needed to hear that. There might be somebody who is listening to the program here now. And you can accept the Lord just where you are right now. You don't have to make any special preparation. You don't have to dress up. You don't have to clean up. Just come as you are.
That's right.
He's ready to accept you. He's ready to accept you.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you yielded to the Spirit in going back to that. Let me say this. You know, I had a pretty decent upbringing. My mother and my father, they always provided. I never wanted for anything. I had awesome opportunities that were presented to me. I got to travel around the world, you know, growing up as a young man, as a military brat. And it did not matter. I didn't know who I didn't have any identity. I didn't know who I was in
yes.
Christ. I didn't believe in a God. And so, you know, the way I dealt with life is that I did it through drugs. I mean, I was doing this stuff every single day. For 15 years, and at some point, I knew that there had to be more. I just couldn't see myself being a 40, 50-year-old man still doing drugs every single day. There had to be more that consisted of my existence, and I was truly passionate in finding out what that was. And so the one thing I never embraced, I tried everything else, but I didn't try God. So I'm listening to Zig Ziglar, you know, and let me say something about Zig. He's a friend and a mentor to me, and I've known Zig for about 12 years now. And I remember the first time I met Zig and I wanted to get into the speaking industry. Zig told me this. He said, "Dwayne, you know, when I accepted Christ, you know, I was 40 years old. I was broke, busted, business wasn't going anywhere. But when I accepted him, and I devoted my life to teaching Bible school in my church." Check this out, Daphne. He said, "I never had to solicit another speaking engagement again." Now, we're talking about a man who could command up to $80,000 for a speaking engagement, who's spoken all over the world. And as great as he is on the platform, what impressed me most about Zig was the man he was off of the platform. I mean, this guy is always giving glory to God. He doesn't accept his success as his own, but he says, look, this is God's business, and I operate that business through him. So that had a great impact on me, you know, as a young Christian. But going back to the time that I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, it was the pivotal point in my life. It absolutely changed every single thing because I was hungry for a change in my life. I was tired of getting up, going to a job that I didn't enjoy, coming home, smoking dope, drinking, snorting coke. It was just it was endless, and I wanted more out of life, and it was at that point that I started pursuing spirituality that I understood that purpose comes from God. And when he revealed to me these talents that I had that I never knew I had before, it was the most beautiful thing in the world. And so now I'm absolutely making a living doing what he blessed me to be able to do. And we all have that ability to do that. Every one of us came into this world with profound gifts and talents.
Exactly.
And we're born to service other people. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Duane, we have 59 minutes remaining. And I want to go right into your most passionate topic, and that's the topic of purpose. And I know your first book was around purpose. Pursuing, I think you want your theme to be pursuing purpose during unstable economic times.
Yeah, exactly the time we're in right now.
Yes. And it's just amazing because prior to you coming on, I know you're a student of purpose just like myself, and I figured to have you and Dr. Miles on the same show would add value to the segment. So that's why I decided to have you on today, too. So thank you for that. My first question around purpose to you, Duane, is your message of purpose is becoming such a hot, popular topic these days. How you account for your popularity around purpose?
Well, that's a great question, Daphne. One of the reasons I wrote my book on purpose back in 2002 is, you know, when I was starting to search for meaning in my own life, I was looking to other resources to try to help me uncover what all of that meant. And I had a difficult time, you know, really finding resources to help me in that area. And so I realized that, you know, once I became a born-again Christian, that I know that there were still people out there that were struggling with the same demons that I had. They were still struggling with depression, with drug abuse and things of that nature. And I really wanted to write a book to help them to understand that there's more to their lives than what they're going through. And so, you know, I just prayed about this particular book. And I started writing information. I started doing research on my own, and those are the principles that are revealed in that book about purpose. Because people are hungry to know what the meaning of their existence is. It's nothing new. I mean, the question of purpose goes back to the first man who existed, Adam and Eve, and so forth. And the big question of purpose begs to cry out, you know, why am I here? You know, in the book of Solomon, he talks about this life. Here's this is the richest man who ever existed. He said he denied himself no pleasure. He could go anywhere he wanted to go, do anything he wanted to do. But in the end, all he was finding was emptiness in the journey of his life. And finally, at the end of Ecclesiastes, he says, look, basically, the only reason for our existence is to serve God and to do his will. So a lot of people, unless they're getting in touch with the spiritual aspect of their lives, they don't know that. So what do they rely on to give them some type of meaning in life? They become victims of social trends, things that they hear on television, the media. They allow the world to set the standards for their self-image, their self-confidence, things of that nature. And so what I wanted people to really understand is, look, is your purpose is divine. It's a spiritual thing. It requires insight into who you are and to understand what you were brought into this world to do. So I was very passionate about wanting people to know that my life had absolutely changed. And I figured, look, if I can change my life, anybody could change their life. So I think, you know, in the last few years or so, there's been a lot of books that have been printed on purpose, a lot of resources that deal with it. So a lot of people are getting caught up in that now, wanting to understand what their purpose in life is. And so that's why it's become really popular, especially when Rick Warren's book about the purpose-driven life came out. And so people are just hungry about purpose. But, you know, if you want to know about purpose, just read the Bible. It'll tell you everything you need to know about purpose and who you are and why you're born and to exist and what you bring to the table of life.
You know, it's the same thing Dr. Miles just mentioned earlier on. He said his favorite book to read is the Bible, because it speaks everything that we need to know in there about our purpose and our calling. And, you know, it's a shame to know how many people don't really own one. And those who own it, it's really jam-packed with dust, because it has not been taken down in a while. So if we take time to read that good book,
well,
we will be enlightened, very much enlightened.
You know, if you want to become a lawyer, you can't become effective if you don't read the textbooks regarding law, you know, to pass the bar exam.
Mm-hmm.
So it's absolute madness to be a Christian without reading your Bible daily. You know, when I first became a born-again Christian, I read the Bible from front to back. I think it was the most awesome book I had ever read before. I mean, I tried to read it back in when I was in high school, but it was the King James Version, the old King James Version. I couldn't understand. I couldn't get through the these, the thous, and all of that other stuff. But, you know, with some of the newer versions, you know, I was able to comprehend what the Bible was saying.
Yeah, because they're modern.
It is the most wonderful, empowering book ever written.
It is the only book
that has stood the test of time all of these years, and it is the only book that I know that absolutely transforms people into absolute new beings. There's power
That's
in
right.
that book,
right.
like none other
That's right.
that you can ever read.
I want to remind the listeners that if they have a question for Mr. Duane Owens, the number to call is 646-915-8166, and that's if you have a question for Mr. Duane Owens. Duane, before we continue, could you give your information to the people how to get in touch with you?
Absolutely. You could go to my website. And that's www.DEWAYNEOWENS.com. Again, that's DuaneOwens.com, but the Duane is spelled DEWAYNE. Or you can simply give me a call at my office at 972-547-0840. And I'd love to hear from you.
Okay, I have another question for you. Why is it important for people to pursue their purpose during unstable economic times?
Well, you know what? Any time is a good time to pursue it, but what's happening is that this country is going through something unlike they've been through in since the Depression. And like I said, I do a lot of workforce presentations. So over the years, I've seen countless thousands of people who've gone through unemployment. They're at a midlife crisis, and they just don't know where to turn. With the job market being the way it is so much tougher now for people that have worked in an industry and have obtained some pretty nice salaries once they're laid off to get back into that industry, because people just, the demand, the supply exceeds the demand, and so they're not going to hire someone who's, if you were accustomed to making an $80,000 salary, you get laid off, there's hardly any companies that are going to hire you back at $80,000. So if you're going to have to be willing to take a pay cut, but the question is do you really want to get back into that particular industry? And what's happening is that there's a lot of people out there who have been laid off, and they can't even get a job parking cars somewhere, because case in point, I was giving a seminar one day at the Workforce Center, and I had a guy there. He was probably in his mid-50s, and he had just been laid off, I think about 2 years prior to that. And he had tears in his eyes, and he was crying. And he said, "Dwayne, you know, my wife always wanted to live the American dream. You know, we had worked at this. I had worked at the same company for 30 years. I had a nice 401k. And I expected to retire from there and live a happy retired life. Unfortunately, he was laid off 2 years ago, has been looking for work, hasn't been able to utilize it. He's gone through his savings. He's exhausted his 401k. And he says, Dwayne, with tears in his eyes, Dwayne, I can't even get a job parking cars. And he was very bitter. And what I tried to tell him is I said, look, you've been in an industry for 30 years. You're an expert in that particular industry. You can consult. You can utilize your services. I'm trying to get him to think out of the box to let him know that the 30 years he spent in that business was not just to work for that company for 30 business. There's another challenge out there, and you have all the tools and equipment to be successful in it. But he had a very difficult time getting beyond the hurt, the pain. And what we have to realize is, look, life always throws us a curveball. We never know what's around the corner. You've got so many people who had money in the stock industry that lost so much money. Life does not give us any guarantees. There's always going to be a roadblock. There's always going to be an obstacle. There's always going to be something that's going to knock us down to the ground. But our job is to get back up and pursue what we were born to do. So with all of these people that are being laid off and being poured by the thousands into the job market, and there's very little, there's not that many job openings, people are going to have to start thinking about, what do I do now? You can't get bitter about what you can't go back to, but recognize that this is an absolute wake-up call for you to discover that you have the talents and tools to do something that you're very passionate about. And that's what can be done. You know, I had a person that went through one of those seminars, and he had been laid off for about 8 months or so. And let me tell you how this came about. I got a call to do a speaking engagement through one of the tech schools, and it wasn't a school that I marketed or anything. So I said, "Well, how did you find out about me?" And she said, "Oh, the way we found out about you is that we have this lady who works here. And her husband was employed about a year ago, and when he went to your seminar, he was really down and out. He was depressed, but then you talked to him about purpose. You gave him an exercise to work on, and after that, he became so excited because he really realized how much of a passion he had for cooking again. So he went through a culinary art school, and now he's a top chef at a restaurant. He's as excited and as happy as he can be, and he just remembered you and told his wife about you, and we wanted to have you come in." So that's the point that I'm making. And instead of getting bitter, this is the time right now to do some introspection about what makes you excited, what motivates you. This man came to the point to finally realize after all these years his passion that he had for cooking. But he never knew that he could translate that passion into a career that he enjoys being involved in. So this is an opportunity that people have while they're being laid off and they're going through bad economic times. It's not a curse. It's a blessing in disguise. And we have to take advantage of that second opportunity while we have it. But again, like I said, Daphne, it takes introspection. It takes asking questions to help
mm-hmm.
you to get on track, to understand what your purpose in life is, your calling.
Duane,
mm-hmm.
do you feel that our natural gifts and talents somehow is connected with our purpose in life?
Without a shadow of a doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt. The beautiful thing about our skills and our talents, Daphne, is that that's the stuff we get to enjoy doing. I mean, that's what we get to enjoy doing. This skill that I have to do public speaking is an absolute joy to me. I just get excited whenever I think about it. Whenever I'm traveling, I'm on the road, or just before I get up in front of an audience, I just praise God and thank Him that You give me the opportunity to do something that I love to do. Now, thing about gifts and talents is that we have to be very careful to realize is that our skills and our talents are given to us to serve our purpose. Our purpose is not given to us to serve our skills and talents. You understand what I mean? In other words, you know, one Monday night I was watching a football game, and this was Barry Sanders. He's one of the Herald running backs that played with the Detroit Lions. But on a Monday night, he told one of the announcers, he says, "You know something? My ability to be able to play football is a gift. It's not my purpose, but it's my gift." And so he got it. He understood, because Barry Sanders realized is that he wasn't going to have that talent forever. You know, any professional athletic career is short-lived, but he's got to live the rest of his life after he retires.
Exactly.
And so what do you do with your life when you're not getting all the bells and the whistles and the accolades from the media about how great a running back you are? You know, they basically forget about you after you retired. And now, you haven't been hearing anything about Barry Sanders because he's no longer playing football, but I bet you, and I know that he is living out his purpose, because he got it and he realized that life is not based on your skills and talent alone. Another case in point, I love to speak, okay? But what if I was involved in some type of terrible accident, Daphne, where my speech, my ability to speak, was taken away? I couldn't speak anymore.
Yes.
Does that mean my purpose stops? Absolutely not.
You can still write, and
absolutely.
Then somebody will be able to still read your words.
Absolutely, absolutely. So our purpose goes beyond our gifts and talents. But the gifts and talents, it's icing on the cake. It's the thing that you get to enjoy doing as you're pursuing your purpose.
Okay, Duane, we have 42 minutes remaining, and I want to interject here because I know you have a package that you want to offer to the listeners, and Dr. Miles also had one, and we got off just chatting away, and I had forgotten to mention his package, so I want you to mention your package now, and then I'm going to mention his package, and then we'll continue with the interview, so please go ahead.
Well, thank you. Well, I have a brand new book that has just recently been released. It's called Awakening the Workplace. And basically, it's a compilation of different experts, speakers, and trainers, consultants who work in the workforce industry. It's just one of those books that as you're going through this period of unemployment, or you're trying to, you know, discover what it is that you really want to do in life, it's one of those books that can truly empower you. My particular book or chapter in the book is called Career Motivation, Finding Purpose in Your Work. Because you know what? You can work all your life and you can have some measure of success, but you can work all of your life and find out that you climbed up the wrong ladder of success. In other words, you could attain, you know, all the things that you want in that particular industry, but yet you're not motivated to even continue in that. So this particular chapter gives an exercise to help you to find out how your purpose relates to your career. That particular book retails for $24.95, and I also wanted to throw in one of my audio CDs. So what I'm offering is Awakening the Workplace, a brand new book, and one of my audio CDs, which values over $50. But for your listeners today, it'll only cost them $35. So there's a savings of over $15 for those two particular products. And you can choose any one of the three audio CDs that you would like. Basically, you just send me a...
Duane!
Uh-huh.
Duane, can you hold a minute? I think we have a call.
Sure.
For you. Hold on. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Must be shy.
Hello, good morning. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Caller from 334-361-0949. You're on the air. Good morning.
That sounds like, is that Alabama 334?
I don't know. 334-36. Oh, they hung up.
Okay,
let me just go ahead and announce for Dr. Miles's package. You can retrieve the various packages that Dr. Miles Monroe was offering for the listeners of the show at http://www.bfmm.com/catalog.asp?step=1?paid=61. And you go there and there are the leadership packages, relationship packages, Dear Diary, and Sex and Dating Special, SP 365 Days Devotional Journal, Kingdom Special Book Offer, Leadership and Management Package, Spiritual Development Package, and Building a Strong Family, How to Face the Future with Fearless. And those are the different packages that Dr. Miles Monroe was offering for the listeners. And in case you didn't get all that I said, just go to www.bsmmm.com catalog. Or if you still didn't get it, email me at daphne@clarkhudson.com, and I will get that information out to you. Thank you, Duane, for allowing me this time. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, to take advantage of the package that I was offering, just simply shoot me an email at Duane@DuaneOwens.com and let me know that you listened to this show today, and we'll go ahead and get you taken care of.
Okay, thank you. And remember, the number to call is 646-915-8166 if you have any questions for Mr. Duane Owens this morning. We have another 37 minutes remaining in this this episode. Now, how much of a part does spirituality play in a person's understanding of his or her purpose, Duane?
Well, it is very significant. You cannot have purpose without God. You know, and I listen to some of the other people out there that talk about purpose, and they talk about, you know, we gain our purpose from, you know, energy and from the universe and things of that nature. What you have to ask yourself is, if we are a created being, how were we created? Who created? Who is the author of our creation? And so you have to understand that even though there's energy and matter in the universe, there's a source that created that. There's a source that created the universe. So the source that's higher than that, who I know is God, has to be the ultimate author of my creation, how he created me, what I'm able to do. Does that make sense? So when you're looking at a source from where you have received a purpose, it's very important who you connect to the ultimate source of that. And so once you I don't believe a person can have a changed life without having a spiritual life. And so, I mean, I've changed, you know, quite a bit of behavior on my own, but I never ultimately changed my life until I accepted the fact that there was a God who was in control of my purpose, who created me with the gifts and the talents to be able to fulfill that purpose. So purpose is divine, purpose is holy, and it comes from a holy God. And so once we can connect with that and understand that, we can go forward in ultimate confidence, knowing that God is in control of our situations. You know that you have favor in certain situations. Whenever you get into a predicament where you can't get yourself out of, it's absolutely outside of your control, then you know that you could depend on God to step in and deliver you out of those particular circumstances. And he's done it in my life many, many times. And so that's why I take no credit for my success at all, Daphne. I really believe the only reason I'm where I am today is because of my relationship with God, and there is no doubt about that.
You know, there's, even when you think that you have done it yourself, you know, really and truly, it's not you, because we can't do anything. We don't have the know-how.
That's right.
You know, we don't have the skill and the expertise in which to do any of these things ourselves. And, you know, a lot of times you listen to Christian people, and they will look on people who is in the world who has not accepted Christ, and they are so wealthy, and they are prosperous, and they are doing good things, giving back to their society, and they're doing this for charity, and they're doing that, and oftentimes I've heard people say, you know, it's not fair because they don't even know God, and yet they are so prosperous. And I said, they have not accepted God, but they are still doing some godly things. And you heard the same people who say, well, oh, I have this because of luck. And I said, well, how do you define luck? Because there is no luck. It is God's blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why you are so blessed with everything you have. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, God is blessing them unconsciously, whether they realize it or not.
Well,
you know
I tell people all the time, I say, look here, you know, in my line of work, you know, I come across millionaires all the time. And I come across, you know, quite a few millionaires that have some of the most bitter attitudes of people that you would ever want to meet. Yet on the other hand, I come across a lot of people that are not financially well off that have some of the best attitudes of people you would ever want to be around. And so you say to yourself, well, how does that play out that way? How can someone who has everything they ever want in life not be happy, whereas you have people who are poor financially have great attitudes? And it's because some of the people that do not have a lot of money, they made a decision a long time ago that they would never allow money to dictate their happiness. I mean, somewhere along the way, they got it right, and they understood that money, that happiness doesn't come from the outside in; it comes from the inside out. And so, that's the beauty of life, is when you're not controlled by money. That's why the Bible says that for the love of money is the root of all evil. So that money love translated into greed will absolutely grip you and control your life, and you'll never have enough of what it is that you're wanting to have. But when you can be content with what you have, if you can be a good steward over the money that you do have and be a good manager and learn to live below your means, you always have
mm-hmm.
the opportunity to prosper more when it comes to money. You know, you look at some
mm-hmm.
of these some of these people in Hollywood, the actors and producers and, you know, other industries that are very high-paying industries.
Because.
And they're multimillionaires. They got all the money that they would ever want. But these are the same people, Daphne, that we're hearing about who are committing suicide, that are overdosing on drugs, that have unhealthy habits. I mean, these are the mega millionaires. So that tells you in and of itself that money is not the key to happiness. You've got these people who are, you know, throwing their lives away even though they have all of that money, and so that just speaks to the fact that money isn't what's going to bring you the happiness that you think it will. Significance, purpose,
exactly,
meaning in your life,
exactly,
is what brings
exactly
you that particular happiness.
excuse me. How much of a role does, no, I think I asked you that question already. How much of a role does a person, or spiritually? I asked you that already, Duane.
what was the question?
Why is it, I think I asked you that one already.
Okay.
Does a person's natural gifts, I asked you that already here.
Okay.
Now, as someone who spends their life teaching about purpose and calling in other people's lives, if you would say there is a difference between male and female, accepting that there is a specific calling and purpose that one needs to follow the path of. Because I know sometimes men are reluctant to accepting these things, and women are a bit more open. What has your experience been?
As far as men being less receptive to receive a calling than women?
To say, yes, you know, there is a calling and I need to follow that, versus women say, oh, yes, I believe that and I'm willing to accept the teaching and follow through.
Well, that's a great question. I don't think I've ever had that one posed to me before, but when you're talking about gender differences, when you're talking about men, you know, there's a vast difference between men and women. We're built the same, built differently. We think differently. And with men, you know, we're supposed to be the stronger of the sexes, physically, mentally. You know, we're the one who go out and we earn the bacon. You know, we make the decisions for the family. So a lot of pride comes into play when it comes to accepting new ideas or new ways of doing things. It's probably a little tougher for men to do that. We kind of have our ways set, and when someone tries to tell us this is a better way to do that, you know, we're not always always that receptive to doing things like that. But I tell you what, although we're different as men and women, we are human beings, and we bleed the same, and we hurt the same, and we feel pain the same. And, you know, when you get to a point where you're tired of life just beating you down again, over and over again, whether you're a male or a female, at some point, either you're going to break or you're going to become receptive to the fact that you do have a different calling in your life. So that there may be some truth to that, that men may be a little reluctant. And I think, if anything, that's more of a pride issue than anything else. But like I said, again, pride can be broken, and humbleness can be introduced to you.
Pride and ego.
Yeah, in a way.
Pride and ego. That was the answer I was really looking for. Because a lot of times when I encounter that with the gender, it is pertaining to ego and pride.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah,
how much of a role does a person's career play in their life's purpose? As you look over the many years that you have been a motivational speaker and you work with different groups, as you look on people's careers, would you say at the beginning they really knew what their calling was and headed straight for that career, or there are people who started careers and realized they were in the wrong calling and had to switch careers?
Well, that's a great question. And let me say this. It's a very integral part of purpose. They go hand in hand, your career and your purpose, because what you're doing mission-wise in your career is to help further your purpose or your calling in life. It's just the means by which we do it. There have been some people that I've talked to over the years that knew without a shadow of a doubt when they were young children what they were going to be doing and the reasons mm-hmm. that they were going to be doing it. So there's a reality to that, some people understanding that. Yet there are people like myself. It took me 35 years and a 15-year drug addiction before I could come to understand what my calling in life is. Excuse me. And so with that being said, although I spent most of my career field in the helping profession and workforce, I wouldn't say that that was the wrong calling for me. What I would say to you is that I take that experience, I take what I've learned, and I utilize it into my ultimate calling. In other words, mm-hmm. I couldn't be where I'm at today without having gone through those particular careers also. And they were careers that
right.
I enjoyed because they were careers that industries that still helped people. I kind of always knew I would be in the helping profession. That's why I received a degree in psychology, because I wanted to understand what made people tick or what made people do the things that they do. But
mm-hmm.
with all that being said, it absolutely goes hand in hand, your career and your purpose. Now, when I went through those 15 years of drug addiction, you say, okay, well, that was a terrible thing that happened. What does that have to do with your purpose now? Now, when I tell people that I've gone through that 15-year drug addiction, it's not anything that I'm happy telling people about. It's a reality. It's what I went through. It's what my life was. But I can take that very negative experience and turn it into a positive now in my speaking industry. Countless people have come up to me after I've given a speaking engagement and said, Dwayne, I'm so happy you shared that story because, you know, I went
That's
through a
right.
drug addiction, or I know someone who's going through a drug addiction. So I tell people that to give them a sense of hope, to let them know, hey, if you are going through this or you know someone else who's going through this, you know, with God's help and through purpose, you can come out of that and you can live the
That's
life
right.
of your dreams. It just doesn't stop there. I remember when I was first writing.
They can look as an example and say, if Dwayne has overcome, so can I.
Exactly. You know, when I was first writing the manuscript for How to Get Rich on Purpose, I remember sending a copy of it back home to my mom in Alabama. I was out here in Texas. And my mother and my father had no idea that I ever even indulged in drugs. And by this time I had stopped, but I sent the manuscript to my mom, and she read it, and she talked to me on the phone, and she said, son, I had no idea that you were going through something like this. I said, yeah, Mom, I was going through that. And she said, but, son, do you really want the whole world to know that you did that stuff? And I said, Mom, I have no option but to let the whole world know that I did that. I have to be
yes.
transparent. I've got to give hope to other people who've gone through the same thing that I've gone through also.
Yes.
So basically what I'm saying, there is a leading of either self or some spirit that takes you through the career field that you've been involved in. If it's not God-led, then you're leading that yourself through your own efforts or through your skills or things that you've developed over the years. But ultimately, when you step into purpose, and you're going down the path that God has set for you, he will take whatever you've been involved in those years and apply it in a divine nature to help you help others in that
mm-hmm.
particular industry that you're involved in. So this thing about purpose, that I've gone through the drug addictions and things of that nature, I mean, it transcends any continent. Wherever you've got people, there's drugs and there's going to be an issue there. And wherever there's a place where there's work, then we're talking about work-related issues and how it all interplays. And so I'm able to take that stuff and speak to people about purpose on it, because I'm not just reading it. I'm telling you that I lived it. I've gone through it myself. and I know what it's like to be on the side of not believing God and living a miserable life, and what it is to have embraced God and living an absolutely magnificent, beautiful life. I wake up every day thankful for the blessings that I have in my life, for the privilege, and I do say privilege, for the privilege,
yes,
to be able to make a living doing what I love to do. Because a lot of people can't say that, Daphne. But we all have the opportunity to do that.
Duane, we have 20 minutes remaining in this segment. If you would give
Daphne, before you get to your next question, let me say this. To people out there who are unemployed right now and they're looking for purpose, if you go to my website, DuaneOwens.com, I have a tool there that might be able to assist you. It's the same tool that I have in my new book, Awakening the Workplace, but this is something that you could do for yourself right now. You simply go to my website, and at the top of the site, there's a link there that's called Workforce Resources. And I want you to click onto that link. And when you click that link, at the top of the page, you will see a link that's called Career Assessment. And I want you to click on that link, and it will take you another page where there's a free download. And what you can do is you can download my Purpose Direction Assessment. This is an opportunity while you're unemployed, while you're asking the questions about where do I go from here, that you have an opportunity,
yes,
to do the introspection that I was talking about asking yourselves the questions that I pose. Basically, there are seven questions. That's the number of perfection, the number of completion. There are seven areas that you want to ask yourselves questions regarding. And I'll quickly go over those seven, but you can go through the download and go through the thing in its entirety. One of the things you got to be able to ask yourself is about motivation. What motivates you? What do you love to do? Think of such sources of motivation as people, stories, events, books, movies, learning, and so on. And I want you to come up with answers for what motivates you. The second thing that I want you to tackle is empowerment. And what are the sources that empower you? When and how do you feel empowered? The third thing that I want you to address is aspirations. What do you aspire to do before you die? I want you to think of variables that would add up to your dream lifestyle. For example, spending more time with family, changing career, growing closer to God, earning more money, living in an ideal location, traveling more, securing your family financially, and so on. And then the next thing I want you to address, and all of this is going to be in the exercise, is your natural abilities. Those are the talents that we talked about. What are the things that you do naturally well? What are things that people have complimented you on? What are you good at? And the next one is inspiration. What inspires confidence in you? Think of sources of inspiration. And the next one is needs. What is it that you need, you absolutely need from life? What do you feel you absolutely must do or accomplish before you die? And last but not least is God. And how do you believe that spirituality plays a part in discovering your purpose? How important is God in your life? So those are the seven things that I want you to address. And the acronym is MEANING. M, motivation, E, empowerment, A, aspirations, N, natural abilities, I, inspiration, N, needs, and the G is God. So I want you to go to that particular page on my website, download that career or purpose direction assessment, go through the exercise, and I believe it will blow you away what will come from the inside of you on paper. And we'll definitely give you a new guide as to where you go with your life from this point on. And that's just a free gift from me.
Okay, thank you, Duane. As a matter of fact, my next question was going to lead up to that because I was about to ask you if you would give the listeners a checklist to kind of track whether they're on the right path towards their purpose and calling.
Mm-hmm.
And so the 7 points that you just gave them is something that will help them too, but I don't know if you have any point, other points that you can give them.
Well, the first, you know, before, you know, I teach a lot of goal setting also, but it doesn't do me a lot of good to teach you goal setting if you don't know where you're going in life. So we want to start with something foundational, and that is being aware of what your calling in life is. What was I born to do? What are my gifts and talents? What motivates me? What inspires me? You know, how do I service other people? And so that particular exercise that I just gave to the listeners is what's going to help you get to the point where you get that particular foundation. This is where I started at 12 years ago when I was 35 years old coming out of that drug addiction. I went through an exercise similar to that, and it just absolutely changed my life. Now, let me say this. Once you complete that exercise, you may find out through this purpose finder statement that, wow, so what do I do with this? After I've done all these answers and stuff, this is what my purpose in life is. It may not make sense to you. Example, when I first did this 12 years ago, Daphne, after I went all through all the things that I'm challenging other people to do through this particular exercise, this is what I wrote down for my purpose in life 12 years ago. My purpose in life is to encourage and motivate people to be the best that they can be. That's what I wrote down on paper, Daphne, and I looked at that. I'm just coming out of a 35-year drug addiction. I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, okay, so what am I supposed to do with this? I mean, it came out of me. I did all the assessment. I did all the critical thinking, and that's what I wrote down on paper. And when I first wrote that down, Daphne, I really just didn't know what to do with it. But that's what my purpose in life was. Now, 12 years later, when you look back, even though it didn't make sense to me then, does it make sense now? Absolutely.
That's right.
That's what I do to make a living. I encourage and motivate people to be the best that they can be, and that's how I earn a living, doing what I was called to do. So when you go through this exercise, if you write down an answer regarding your purpose that doesn't quite make sense to you right now, then what I say is don't worry about it. Give it a little time, and it will begin to make sense to you. You're going to be looking at life through new lenses. You're going to start taking advantage of opportunities that were always there, but you just didn't recognize it before. You're just going to see life a little different, but then that you didn't see it before. You're going to be drawn to things that you weren't drawn to before. Once you open up that door and you pull from inside of you out on paper what your purpose is, magnificent things will begin to happen. Some people will get it right off the bat when they write out their purpose finder statement. Some people, like myself, it may take a few months or maybe a year or so before it really starts to sink in and you realize, wow, this is it. This is what I'm supposed to be doing.
You know something, Duane, I have a similar example, and this is why I am such an avid teacher of journaling, because journaling is so important. Back in 2007, I went back to school, and I realized I was just signing up for a lot of psychology classes. And my advisor said to me, "Why are you taking so many psychology classes?" And I said, "I don't know, but I felt led to do all these advanced psychology classes." And then when I started going back through my journal, I realized that God had placed it in my spirit to do an empowerment institute.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in order to have that, I would need all the classes in psychology. And I called her back and I was telling her that, and she says, "You are amazing."
Mm-hmm.
So once you document the things in your goal setting journal, or you just journal your life story, that keeps
mm-hmm.
you on track.
It absolutely
of
does.
What's going on in your life. Because a lot of people, and it's not like I'm beating up on men this morning, but I know a lot of my male clients, when I tell them about journaling, they say, "Ooh, that's so girly to do." I said, "Trust me, just start it, and if you don't see any difference in your life within 2 months, you come back and tell me you don't want to do it anymore." And I have not yet had one of those men come back to me and say it was not worth it. Because what journaling does is that it helps your creativity. Once you empty out your brain on the paper, it helps your creativity to flow, so you keep getting new ideas instead of having everything inside your brain and it's all cluttered and
Absolutely.
Things cannot get to it.
There's magic in putting stuff down on paper. There's absolute magic in that. When I teach the goal setting seminars, I encourage people initially to write, you know, with pen and paper, write out their objectives or their goals. And the one thing that I would do is I will have people who are going through the goal setting seminar is to update and review and revise their goals every 4 months. So that means that you will do that at least 3 times a year, because you have to take an opportunity to assess how well you're doing in the goals that you've come up with. You know, am I succeeding? Am I failing? What are the reasons I'm doing? What can I cut back on? Do I have too much on my plate? You need to do this review and this revision every 4 months. Well, that's going to require you to actually write down what your progresses are or how you're not progressing in certain situations. But what you're beginning to do is exactly what you're saying, Daphne. Now you're beginning to journal. You know, you're actually beginning to write your life story. The testimony that's unfolding right before your eyes. When I first started goal setting back in 1996, I still can go back to those old journals that I have, and when I read them, Daphne, and see how far I've come over the last 12 years, I get on such a high, it's unbelievable. And I really think, man, I have come so, so far. But you know what, Daphne, if I didn't have it there to read it, I would forget about it over time.
You would see the progress you make.
Exactly.
You would not have seen the progress you have made, and you still have so much further to go.
Absolutely.
But when we don't have any track record, then that's the time when we keep comparing ourselves with others. Because I tell people, you don't need to compare yourself with others. You need to compare yourself with your past performance.
Yeah.
Because you only need to compete with yourself.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly. We're not here to compete with others. I mean, all of us don't have the same talents. You know, we don't have the same gifts. You know, when you start comparing yourself to others and you're wondering, well, how come I don't have that gift? You know, one of the things I always wished I could do, Daphne, was sing. But I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But you know something? I don't let that stop me, because that's just not where my gifting was. My gifting is in the speaking arena, and so that's where I have to excel. That's what I have to work on. And I'm going to be blessed just as much as anyone else who has a great voice that is in the music industry. We don't want to compare ourselves to others. We just want to be the best us or best me that I can be.
That's right, because there's nobody that's going to do you like you do you.
That's right.
Dwayne, would you take 5 minutes to give us your closing thoughts? And, you know, I had such a great time. I have no doubt that we will be having you back on. So would you give us your closing thoughts, please?
Absolutely. And let me just say it off the bat, Daphne, thank you so much for having me as a guest on your show. I remember meeting you years ago when we were both in a speaking association, and I just remember how excited you were, how on fire you are for life. I've seen you do great things over the years. You've not stopped the cause. You've not given up. You're just enhancing what you know your God-given talent is. That's part of the reason you have this radio show, is because you want to bless other people. And that's what our purpose is all about. It's about the blessings of other people. Because if you're a child of God, you know you're already blessed. God cannot give you any more blessings than he's already blessed you with. We just have to learn how to receive all the blessings that he's given us. With that being said, when you know you're blessed, all you have to do is live to bless others. One of the great quotes that comes from Zig, and I'll never forget it, and I say it over and over all the time, is you can have everything you want in life if you just help enough other people get what they want in life.
Get what they want, exactly.
If you're going through a tough time right now, don't focus on yourself. Focus on what you can do to help somebody else. Trust me, when you start talking to other people about your problem, about their problems seem to be pretty minimal to what other people are going through. You know what? Life is beautiful. beautiful. Life has its ups. Life has its downs. But I tell you what, when you're a child of God, when you know you have purpose, when you know you have direction, even when you're going through the fire, you can praise him when you're going through that because you know he's absolutely in control. And the only illustration I could use to make sense of something like that is, let's say, Daphne, you go see a particular movie. And it has a great ending, but it has all this action and drama and tearful scenes in the middle of the movie. And then you say to your friend, you know what, friend, will you come to the movie? I really want you to see this movie. It's going to be a great movie. But you don't tell them what happens in the movie. But you know that person well enough that when these particular scenes pop up, you pretty much know how they're going to respond and react to what they see on the movie screen. But you know in the end it's all going to turn out fine, but yet you see the emotional roller coaster that the viewer is going through as they're watching this movie, and at the end when it turns out all right, it's like, well, I knew it was going to turn out all right anyway because you knew that. But a lot of times when you're watching that movie, you don't know how it's going to end. So life is pretty much like that. God has already paved the way. He's already given you the victory. He's already opened the doors that you can't open on yourself. He's already given you victory in areas where you feel weak. And so we're going through the emotional, real-time existence of going through those particular experiences, yet if we are in tune with our Heavenly Father, then we don't have anything to worry about. He's in control. Even if you got laid off at your job, you can still praise God and say, God, look, I know you're in control of this. I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but I know you're going to bring forth the right people. I know you're going to send me to the right direction of where I need to go, but I know you're in control. I'm not going to weep. I'm not going to have a pity party because I know I am taken care of because I'm your son or I'm your daughter. So I thank you for whatever you're going to take me through right now. Just show me what it is I need to learn through the process. But anything that the enemy takes from you, God will always give back to you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Duane, would you now just once more give the listeners your contact information?
Absolutely.
And thank you for so eloquently blessing us this morning.
Well, thank you very much. Please feel free to visit me at my website. Again, that's www.DuaneOwens.com, and that's spelled DEWAYNEOWENS. Again, DuaneOwens.com, or simply give me a phone call at 972-547-0840. I welcome your phone calls and would love to connect with you.
Okay, that was Mr. Duane Owens, and he just emptied out himself to us this morning, and we thank him for blessing us so eloquently. And I know my voice is not what it is accustomed to being, but I am thanking God that he has helped me to finish the show. And for that reason, I'm going to be posting the address for Dr. Miles's package special on the blog so you can retrieve it from there. And keep watching us. Visit us on blogtalkradio.com/Daphne-Clark-Hudson. Mark us as your special so you can get updated on who is going to be on the show when. And we are just so excited that you have taken the time to be with us. And
well, it's
remember,
my pleasure. Thank you.
As you have heard from Dr. Miles this morning and you have heard from Mr. Owens, that we all have a purpose. And regardless of what's going on around us, we can tap into that purpose. And I want to remind you that you have a destiny. Do not allow anyone to deter you from that destiny. Remember, you do not have to settle for mediocrity because you have the ability to create excellence. This is Dynamic Daphne, the queen of the empowered soul, saying so long. Thank you. Tune in to the New Day Show.
What's the plan that you have for me? The place you've called me to be. Some people call it destiny. Will you let me know? What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.